السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels. Our engineer for this morning is Hanzala, and on the line with us we have Brother Adil Mangli. Adil, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. من أنا سجاد تيمول and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning, mashallah, with the sun shining up, just a very light breeze on the face, and it's a beautiful atmosphere here where I am. But obviously I'm not going to tell anybody where I am, because today's brain of the day, we're going to ask them to guess, where is Adil Mangli?
So basically now you want our listeners to start guessing, where is Adil this morning?
Yes, where is Adil this morning?
I wanted to tell you, yeah. just when you were replying to that salam, mashallah, you sounded extremely happy.
Yeah.
And you sounded like you out catching some fish or perhaps hunting again today, Adil.
No. We're definitely catching fish. It's the fishing season. I did post a picture for you earlier on WhatsApp.
I never wanted to say much. I thought, maybe you're going to say I'm just giving away too much. Some clues, but the thing looked very nice, Adil.
Yeah, that was a nice grass carp. So that's clue number one. If anybody knows or has been following me in terms of where we do fishing regularly and stuff like that, that's clue number one. It's a grass carp. So that's what we caught this morning so far. I'm fishing this morning with a very good friend of mine, alhamdulillah. His name is Hamza Kesem. I suppose that's another clue if people know about that. But I won't tell you too much. How's everything going on your side?
Well, excellent this day, alhamdulillah. Like you said, the weather this morning is just excellent, Adil. You know, one of those days that you just want to be out, you just want to be either at the waters, you just want to be with nature itself. Excellent, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. And last weekend, we were doing a live broadcast from Tanglewood, that is on the Boskop DM. And I don't know, while I was speaking to you, obviously you said nothing was caught yet, but you saw lots of fish, but it was very, very windy. You know, after the program, did you guys manage to catch anything?
Well, unfortunately, Adil, the thing is that, you know, with workload back at home, we basically went specially just to review the area and to talk about the place itself. And immediately thereafter, I mean, I had to then leave and get back home to finish up some work.
Right, so the next day, I got a bite. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Hamza, you take the rod quickly. There we go, Mulana.
Adil is just screaming reels now.
Woo! There's it. Nice one. Check how excited he is.
What you caught, Adil?
It is still coming out. It's in the water. Oh, beautiful. Oh, God, Hamza's fighting the fish here.
Hamza, I don't know.
Can you hear that splash in the water?
Hamza is laughing at the moment, right, Adil?
Hamza, yeah.
Now, I don't know. Now, he said that Adil is hitting his own story. You know?
Oh, what a beauty.
You got to send him that picture.
This is a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large mouth. Beautiful fish. Let's just hope I don't lose it.
Okay, so
look at the size of the mouth.
I'm
going to post it now.
Yeah.
On WhatsApp, and then we post it on Facebook as well. If the guys want to have a look, they can go. Just search Adil Mangli, and you'll be able to see it. This is a beautiful one.
All right, so Lukman is with us on the line. Maybe we're going to tell him, must give you step-by-step guidance on how to take out this fish there, Adil.
Well, we landed the fish, alhamdulillah.
Tops,
and,
lovely.
Can you hear it? He's splashing here on the rock.
Yes, good.
What's amazing, and what I would like to know, obviously, is there's an expert around there. This is a largemouth yellow, but the mouth is extremely large, larger than normal.
Okay.
I just got it now. He's taking the hook out. It's very swollen, the lips. I wonder what Luqman will have to say about it. Luqman, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
How are you, Luqman?
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Luqman, we at work, some people are fortunate, mashallah, they're fishing.
Yeah, they are. Everybody will get the chance one day, inshallah. Luqman, I just pulled out a yellow. We're not telling listeners where I'm fishing at the moment because we want them to guess it. As part of our opening to our new competition session that we want to do, inshallah. Hopefully we'll be getting some good prizes, sponsors, some solids, inshallah, by next week, as early as next week. I've just got a yellow here. I can clearly see it's a largemouth yellow. But the lips are extremely swollen. It looks huge. Is there a reason for this? Have you ever seen
that? The fish is shocked to see you.
It's been so long, you mean.
It might be just... difficult to say, you know, we're not scientists or biologists, and without looking at the fish, but you know, now and then you get deformities in fish, you'll get fish that may be sick or whatever, so it's probably one of those, either naturally formed birth or sickness, or maybe to do something to do with the pollution, or that Allah knows, you know.
Okay, so is that thing that it is perhaps spawning fish or fish that just finished spawn, perhaps they do things like it?
Not that I know of. It can be, like I say. We're not qualified fish specialists.
And then early on, Luqman, Adil caught a grass carp, right? He sent a picture, lovely looking fish, nice size fish. Again, these grass carps, natural again or introduced into dams?
No, it's actually the Chinese grass carp, and they were introduced, you know, all carp species were never indigenous species to South Africa or the African continent. They were introduced, and same likewise with the grass carp. What they were using them for is they used to, you know, make them sterile so they don't breed. And in any farmers or dams that there's excess of grass in their dams, they used to introduce these just so that they can eat up the grass, because it's like the name suggests, they feed on grass or they eat lots of grass. So a lot of farmers put them in their dams that are overgrown with grass. So, they were introduced into the system, and now they're almost in most of the waters, like basses, you know, they've just spread and been moved around from place to place. So they occur almost everywhere.
Why they generally, I mean, is it like they don't bite normal? They say, I mean, it's either you're going to jig that fish or you're not going to catch it normally.
There's two types of grass carp. One is a common type which they catch, and the other one is a Chinese grass carp. Now, the Chinese grass carp is more difficult. You rarely catch them in the mouth, and they occur more in the northern provinces, like, you know, I know Arabi's got quite a few of them in certain sections of the Olifants River. Those are very difficult to catch with bait, you know. Most of those guys just jig them. Whereas your standard grass carp, which is what you'd see in a Vaal River, Vaal Dam, a couple of the other places, those regularly are caught on minis or floaties or tow.
Adil, you still there with us, or you just took you in there?
I'm just catching my breath. What a beautiful experience, alhamdulillah. I always wanted to do this where I'm on the radio and then the rod just takes and I manage to catch a fish. It's happened before, alhamdulillah, but just the feeling is very, very lekker. And Luqman, you'll be happy to know, you know, that we are using your baits that you, mashallah, so generously sponsored. This particular one took on an onion flavor that we're using. So, yeah, so Solid Angler's Corner is here with us.
I see Solid Angler's Corner's keeper is also with you there.
I'm even wearing my T-shirt from Solid Angler's Corner, yeah.
I'm looking at a photo, Luqman. Now, Luqman, honestly, from the way he described that fish, right?
Sure.
How many kilos do you think that fish was?
Oh, look, I haven't, since I came in and that I've been just fussy with customers and then ran in to grab this interview. So I didn't even have a look at the photo.
Yet. No, without looking at the photo. What I'm saying is just the way Adil explained it now and the way he spoke about the fish.
Probably 5 or 6 kilo.
To me, it looked like 200 grams. Look, man.
I would put it.
Fishermen generally get excited for any fish, so we're not writing that one off.
When you're gonna see the picture, you're gonna look for the fish very hard in the photo. No, it's really beautiful, Adil. Excellent. Nice size fish and
I would say it's about maybe just a 2 kilo or under 2 kilo.
Yes, definitely.
But it's a nice healthy looking fish, alhamdulillah. And you know, it gave a very very good fight on very very light tackle. I'm fishing with very very light tackle here, so yeah, that was a lack of fight.
Excellent.
I know you're not going to give me a chance to play type of game, so I might as well just carry on with the interview.
Well, let's just remind the listeners that the lines are open to guess as to where Adil is. Adil, what are you giving them that fish that you caught for today?
What is it?
Are you going to give them the fish that you caught today? The listeners are going to guess where you are sitting.
No. Today we're just going to be starting off the brain of the day again, inshallah, like I mentioned earlier on. And today, obviously, they're going to win the title of Brain of the Day. Mm-hmm. But I've been talking to Luqman Alhamdulillah, and he says that he's just waiting to confirm some stuff with me. Then hopefully from as early as next weekend, inshallah, our Brain of the Days will have a little prize attached to it. So you can warm yourself up to the competition today. Call in on our studio number, inshallah, and tell us where do you think I am fishing. I told you earlier on I caught a grass carp. I just pulled out a very, very decent sized largemouth yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful coloring on the fish, etc. Alhamdulillah. And so I'm sure by now that's enough clues. And I'm fishing with a very good friend of mine, Hamza Qasim, who is sort of connected to the place that I'm fishing from.
Luqman, you still with us?
Si, alhamdulillah.
Luqman, tell us about this yellow fish itself now, in terms of your bait for it, and perhaps very briefly about the largemouth and the smallmouth yellow.
Well, it's, you know, as per the description and the name, say your largemouth is a bigger fish, and obviously with a bigger mouth, and your smallmouth or small scale yellow, there's a couple of different species, but those are the two common ones. Okay. Well, smallmouth is obviously with the small amount. And both you catch them, you know, on artificial baits. You can catch them on fly. I mean, that's the most popular technique to catch them. Most people fish with them on flies. But, you know, from many, many years ago, the people caught them on millies, on floaties, on general dough. So you can use them different ways to catch them, even... you know, smallish crankbaits that the guys use for bass, but that would be more on a largemouth side. There's a good few of guys that tackle them on bass tackle, but the lighter stuff, small rapas or small deep, shallow running cranks. Even traditional map spinner, you know, Fury number 2 or number 3, that's what guys use for yellowfish. So one of the nicest things about yellows is you can target them with almost any tackle that you want.
Look, sorry for that. We're just going to go quickly to the lines. We've got a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Where are you calling us from, brother?
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, mashallah. And do you have the answer to the question?
I'm sure I'm quite correct in saying Adil is at Willow Express.
Willow Express.
Is this Abdul Haq? How are you, Abdul Haq?
Alhamdulillah, Mulana. You know, I know your program is going on all this every week.
I'm thinking this voice, I know now.
Even the voice, you know. Shalom, mashallah.
Okay, Adil.
I am 100%, I mean, brother Abdullah, I'm sorry, maaf man, Abdullah, but you know, I'm still reeling from that fish I just pulled out now. Yeah, so 100% correct, I'm actually at Willow Express. All the clues I gave, grass carp, yellow. We're fishing here in the river at the moment. I'm fishing with Hamza Qasim, whose father-in-law is the owner of Willow Express.
Is he checking the feet of the fish also?
Huh?
Hamza is a podiatrist, is he?
He's a podiatrist, yeah. He's checking the fish, the feet of the fish, yeah, you're right. I was lucky he was here with me to help me. Otherwise, it would have been phone and rod and it would have been a big mess. But 100% correct. You can tell everybody today, inshallah, that you are the brain of the day.
So coming back to the yellow you caught with the extra thick lips.
Yeah.
They occur a lot in the Orange River system as well.
Okay, so this is something that you've heard of or you've seen before.
I've seen before.
Right.
So
I was touching the lips. It's a very rubbery.
It extends the same amount, and it's rather thicker than your ordinary large mouth yellows.
Right. So this is amazing. And what I found in this particular spot where we fish, there's quite a number of different species of fish. Earlier on also we caught another smallmouth yellow. Mm-hmm. And then that one there, you know. And so, yeah. The last time I caught a yellow that was so yellow, it looked like a bar of gold.
It does. The picture looks awesome, Asif. Adil.
Yeah, definitely. You can see that thick lips on it.
Beautiful.
But I
could just add something one day on the yellow you caught. You find that we call them taxi bumpers. If they actually, you catch a taxi bumper, you'll find it's more yellow than your other yellows.
Okay.
That's another way of seeing how thick the lips are compared to the normal yellows.
Brain of the day, mashallah, Drak.
You guys enjoy your fishing there.
Inshallah.
You can just drool in the.
You can pick me up on your way to Boskop. Abdullah can wait for you.
Today, inshallah, I'll do a replay.
Inshallah.
Jazakumullah.
Amin. Salaam alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
Some good extra information there, Lukman.
Gee, alhamdulillah, like I say, we're students every day, you learn every day. So, jazakallah to Brother Abdullah for sharing the information. And that's what we need from any other listeners.
Yes.
You know, if anybody know more information on any types of fish or fishing, they must please phone in. We're all there to learn. Nobody is the expert. Nobody knows it all. So, inshallah, let's make our program more interactive. If you're a fisherman, don't feel you don't know anything. Whatever little bit information you can share, it just helps each other. You know, we help each other improve our fishing in all aspects of it. Yeah.
100%. And they say normally fishermen add on a bit extra here and there, so they could come on radio and add that extra on from their side if they want to.
Inshallah. Lukman, this particular fish, like I was telling you, we're using the plain brown bread. Obviously, you gave us a lot of tips in terms of different kinds of bait that these fish take. So they're very sort of aggressive feeders. I use the onion flavored dip. At the spot here where we're fishing currently, and alhamdulillah, it seems to be doing the trick. Now, when it comes to these dips, etc., you said the fish, do they have like a very keen sense of smell or that they pick up this and then sort of go to the bait or how does that work?
See, especially your carp and yellowfish, they've got very sensitive, taste and smell. So they pick up any flavor from far off, and generally the wild rubber, that's why I gave you the onion, guys use lots of, garlic, strong almonds in it because of the flowing water in it as well. You know, you need that stronger smell to attract those fish.
Well, it's working and it's doing the trick, alhamdulillah. And like I said, jazakallah to Solis for that one. What's happening at the moment in terms, obviously, we know bears. I know I just threw the whole thing out because of the yellow fishing, etc. But currently, what's happening on the bear scene, Lukman?
Like you said, you know, it's still on everywhere. People are catching all over the show. But it's a nice transition phase now from bears into yellow, the yellow or carp. This is when they also spawning and coming into the shallows and feeding a bit more. So, yeah, I think it's just good fishing all right. Alhamdulillah, we've been blessed with good weather as well. So fishing, yeah, inshallah, will be good all round.
And then the last time you were talking about this new bait that came out, how are those doing at the moment?
Shukar, we brought in a couple of new ones. That was that whopper plopper we spoke about, the surface bait. Then as far as bass is concerned, one or two nice jerk baits came in. And then on a carp side, you know, Supercast launched, that's the one you were speaking about, that new tips and new floaties. And the one was specifically designed for the Vaal River system. It's a fire and ice floaty, which also got a bit of a strong flavor to it. So we've got those in stock now. They came in this week. And, you know, we'll see. But all the reviews when they were doing the testings, and that were very good. If you look at all the Supercast, YouTubes and Facebooks, you'll see the size of fish they were catching on the Vaal River with that. So if anybody is thinking of going Vaal, I think it's well worth coming into any of the Solis branches and grabbing some of the new stuff and giving it a try.
Excellent. Luqman, Jazakumullah for your time this morning. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that is Brother Luqman from Solis Angler's Corner. Also a bit later, inshallah, Brother Hamza indicating to us that we have Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line as well. But Aril, if you want to, very quickly, I'm going to allow you like about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Or maybe Hamza already rebaited for you. You can cast that rod in. And all the listeners will read a bismillah for you from the set.
Yeah, while I do that, I'm going to hand over the phone to Hamza. You can just ask him a few questions about, you know, what it was like to see me in action. Let's see what he says.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Hamza, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so, mashallah, you guys are at Willow Express today, your guys' place out on the Vaal.
Yes.
Tell us, okay, just very quickly, generally, Adil, I know I think it's perhaps after a very long time that we're actually speaking to somebody from Willow Express itself. Adil gives a wonderful description about the place. I've been there with him on our occasion. Just tell us this morning's, actually explain to the listeners the view that you guys are having there this morning.
So we woke up this morning, Fajr. After Fajr, I went to go get him from his chalet. We had some coffee. We came down, it was still a bit cloudy.
Okay.
We came down, we walked on the river, came down to the river. The river is, the place is on. You can actually see the full river to your right, the full river to your left. It's beautiful scenery. There's a lot of birds flying around, chirping around. As we get to the river, we see all the fish just jumping out of the river. We see all the small pools they're making. And it was actually just, it's so wonderful. It's so peaceful, relaxing. It's a very, very nice place.
Amazing, very, subhanAllah. Very nice place. Now tell us about the fish that you guys caught. You guys caught one grass carp early on this morning. Adil sent that picture through there. I just seen the one of the yellow now as well. Just tell us, how was that experiencing it while Adil was on the phone there? Talking to the listeners and doing a screaming reel show.
See, the problem is I'm casting the same place as Adil Mangli, and the problem is he's putting on Tamuti, which we don't know, unfortunately, because I'm doing exactly the same thing as he's doing, and I'm not catching him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The experience is just so nice. Sir, Adil Mangli knows exactly what he's doing.
We just
come to the area and says, you know what, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that. And as soon as we do it, the fish just come out. And it was so amazing. You heard, you was on the phone, and you just take this line pulling like crazy. Actually, like, screaming.
Excellent.
And the yellow was amazing that came out, man. Amazing, amazing.
Maybe you should touch his rod there, or take his rod away from him.
Maybe. I think I'm going to swap rods with him.
Yeah, swap rods with him and then see what happens then.
Yeah.
Then you'll know, you'll know what's the trick behind this.
Yeah. But after about us to let him put the bait on as well.
He must put a bait on as well.
Yeah, bait on as well. Then it will work. Otherwise it won't work.
Okay. Hamza, you're going to give the phone back to Adil.
Okay, right. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Right, so
Adil, what are you doing to the man? This, at least you can assist the man out there. You're giving guidance to the listeners here on Radio Islam. I mean, telling them about what they should be using for the yellow that they perhaps are going to catch tomorrow. One, two listeners already asking for some more information there. But now the man is standing next to you, not helping him, Adil.
I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing everything I can, alhamdulillah. But at least he had the opportunity to pull that fish out because I was busy on talking to you. Again, you are involved.
So,
So I had to give over to Hamza to pull that fish out. And Alhamdulillah, he fought it very, very well. So yeah, I think as the day progresses, we at Wallo Express with our families, about 4 or 5 families, Alhamdulillah, that have got together.
Excellent.
And we are doing our fishing, serious fishing this weekend, inshallah. And already the weekend has given us some
good hope.
Some good fish, mashallah.
Mm.
Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. We really enjoying it. We've got such beautiful weather. Inshallah, we'll make what Allah Ta'ala keeps it like that. I mean, what can be better than this? I was just telling Hamza earlier on, what can be better than this? Sitting at the river, you know, some people are on their way to work. Some people are already in their shops, like Luqman.
Mm.
And, you know, he's selling the fishing things and we are busy catching the fish.
Some people are sitting in the studio working.
Some people are in the studio working, yeah.
I'll remember this. I'm recording everything. I'll just replay it for you. Let's go to Muhammad Patel, who we got with us on the line as well. Adin Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Malana. Adil and all the radio sound listeners, how are you today?
Alhamdulillah. Adil, this moment, I think he jumped in one of the boats, he went away and we never heard of him again.
Yeah, we haven't heard him in a while, actually.
It's been a while now.
Last weekend, we wanted to get you on, Mohammed, because we were covering Tanglewood on Boskop.
Mm,
and Mulana okay. was Tanglewood Estate on Boskop Dam. And Mulana was saying that, you know, you could see a lot of that grass. And you remember once when we were talking, you were talking about going in the area and looking at the way these grasses are sort of
caved in, yeah.
They've got like these little caves inside there where the fish are sitting.
Gee, what I found was there's a few areas on the dam where you find the grass to be like really thick near the shoreline. And one day I actually... We tried, you know, dropping like a big a craw with a really heavy weight, but the weight was basically almost like, you know, like a 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce tungsten style weight. Now the tungsten style weight, the nice thing about the tungsten style weights are they have a very small profile to them, not like the old lead style weights that were bulky and big. So what that aids and assists with to punch through that grass quite easily, you know, and we would actually peg the weight by using what we call a stopper or bobber stopper. I don't know what the guys call it. They sell those line stoppers, basically.
Gummy stopper.
That's, you can even call it a gummy stopper. Guys have all different names for it. So basically what I was doing was we picked the 3/4 ounce weight on a crow. And I think we went about like 10 foot of water and there was this heavy mat type reed. And I said, let's just punch through and see how far we can actually get the bait through. So, you know, punching the bait through and you can actually feel you get to like... 2 foot below the surface and then the line goes like free, it like drops free. And we were quite surprised on the first drop, you know, we had a fish on, but the only snag or the only thing that the angler should be careful about there is don't go and do that with a very light line, like 10 pound line, you know, because what happened
there, then.
Exactly, you know, we had the first fish that just wrapped us around the reed. So we had a solid take, solid bite. And then, you know, we literally had to play with that fish for like 5 minutes to get it out. And it wasn't even a big fish. I think it was about an 800-900 gram fish. But just getting that fish out from that thick stuff, you know, I think the heavier line application would work much better to get those fish out of there. Because I always look at Boskop and I told myself, you know what, these fish can't only be biting early morning and late afternoon. They got to be, you know, at different places. And then the normal places where we would find the fish, like on the reed edge in like 20-foot water, 21-foot water, you'd catch the fish, but they weren't like plenty, you know. And you always find like the guys that go to Tanglewood without boats, they're standing on the jetty like at about 4 to 6, 7 or to whenever the sun, whatever time the sun goes down, they'll be trying to catch bass, and they do catch bass. And we've had so many instances where you're coming, you're slowly working your way out now to towards the launch area because it's getting darker. And the bite would just pick up like crazy. I thought to myself, where did all these fish come from? I mean, if they're not in the deep and they're not where they, you know. And we just kind of like puzzled it, looked at the different types of weed, and that's very important. We found what I term as spear weed. It looks like a long stem, and it has these spear-shaped leaves on them. You get spear weed, and then you get your normal thick that looks like cotton wool weed. And then you get a weed that looks, I don't actually know how to describe it, but it's almost like that cotton wool type weed, but it has like smaller stems and leaves on them, almost like the American hydrilla weed. And when we found that weed, we found that it made like small openings and on the edges of what we would say about a 2 meter patch or 3 meter patch going all around. And in between, you get like a tiny, you know, opening. Punch your bait through there, and we're just trying to replicate that all over. In fact, I can't wait to get back there to do that, you know, when the sun is really high and the fish are inactive. Look, obviously, this time of the year, you know, the fish will be, like, moving towards the shallows and they're quite easy to catch, but the harder times of the year, you know, either like post-spawn, which will be coming up now in, you know, like November, December months when the sun is like really high and those fish are taking cover. This is where you need to find out where are they, what are they doing. And yeah, my theory regarding that weed and then taking cover in that weed, I think it will be about the safest, you know, for them to hide in or to ambush their prey.
Just on that point there now, what do you have to do to sort of prevent yourself from getting snagged, meaning where the hook actually hooks into the weed?
Just make sure, you see a lot of people skin hook the baits. Now, I don't know if a lot of anglers are familiar about skin hooking a plastic bait. So what they do is they take a wide cap hook, well, depending on the bait that you're using and the size of hook you're using. Let's do an example of a Zoom fluke, a junior fluke. Some people would like to use what we call a 2-0, size 2, a wide gap hook. Some people would use a 3-0 hook. I personally prefer a 3-0 hook, simply because it's slightly heavier and I can go with a lighter application now. Some listeners would wonder, what is this guy talking about lighter application? But this is just an example, not of what we're talking about now with the weed. But if you're looking at going with the weed, instead of skin hooking the hook, try and bury it into the bait. The only difference would be you'd have got to strike a little bit harder to have that hook, you know, come through the bait.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely won't get snagged up. If you do get snagged up, it means that your bait is damaged or you just...
your hook is
not feeling. Yeah, your hook is exposed or your bait is damaged or you're just not feeling what's happening and, you know, like really giving, you know, hard tugs on when you're working that bait, you know. But okay. I've never really got snagged up using that type of method. The skin hooking method, obviously in open type structure, if you're coming across rocks or, you know, not thick cover, I found that works perfect.
So basically when you're fishing very, very thick weed and thick cover, you got to make sure your hook is set right inside the bait so that it's not exposed at all.
It's just a bit, you know, if you were doing a live, like a live video feed, I could show the users exactly, you know, how to rig that. But, you know, like even facing, how can I put it? It's very difficult to actually show the listeners out there how to actually rig it. But if you are a bass fisherman and you know about skin hooking a bait, skin hooking meaning pushing the hook right through the bait and then just burying the point of the hook into the plastic, you know. Now instead of doing that,
yeah,
you take it through the center, but the hook facing, you know, the side coming out. So when you do have a bite and you give it a slight extra, you know, a slightly harder strike, it can come through quite easily.
Okay, so look, Mohammed, what we'll do is next time, we'll just ask you to take us there, myself and Adeline, you can show it to us then. Why into the video feed and things like that? Right or wrong, Aziz?
I was actually thinking that if we do that, then we will make a video of it, and then we can post it also on our website.
I know your picture is going on the Instagram now and things like that. A lot of people are actually asking me for that, for the picture, because I think of that lip. So somebody sent me a message. They said it's actually not even called a largemouth yellow. It's called a jellyfish, jelly lip yellow.
Oh, okay, yeah, right. So it's a jelly?
Jelly lip yellow.
Jelly lip.
Yes.
So this is
Bobby Patel. He calls himself Bobby Patel. He sent me this message now.
Yeah.
It's called a jelly lip now.
Who's Bobby Patel? Is his connection with Mohammed Patel?
I don't know if his connection with Mohammed Patel.
He's our connection, yeah.
Oh,
if it's the same Bobby Patel I'm thinking about, he's out
from there. The plaza.
Gee.
Yeah, I know the man knows his fishing, or rather I would say his son knows his fishing very well. Like he said, it's called a jelly lip yellow.
Jelly lip yellow, okay, excellent stuff. No, the 100%.
Half of the Patels, they serious fly fishermen. And when it comes to yellow fish, they're really serious about it. So if he's giving you that term or that name, okay.
So I just got the jelly lip yellow. I'm so excited.
Mm. So now you got three different species already, are you?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, for the morning. Mm. Let's see what else happens. Mohammed, in terms of voting, let's just... I'm not sure how much of time we've got left. But we sort of put the voting, on hold for a while. Last time we spoke, we were getting very, very involved in the... sort of the makeup of the boat. We were talking about, the flooring and how the floors are fitted and all the different, spaces. Now, you see, I don't know the right word, so you'll fully team for me. You know, basically your boxes and stuff like that, your storage compartments, etc. And then we were doing aerators and talking about the live wells that you find on a boat. Coming into now main fishing season, obviously guys need to start getting their boat sorted out before getting to the water. I think, let us just recap, what are the tips that you can give them in terms of things that they need to check before going to the water and then realizing there's a problem with the boat?
The main issue we've been having now recently was a battery issue. There's so many, in fact, I had a caller this morning, and he says, Mo, you know what, I got a problem. None of my fish finders, I fished till 10 o'clock and then everything went off and then my main motor's not starting. What do I do? Where's the problem? Or do you have an idea? So the one thing to do when you are not battery-wise, let's call it battery-wise, a lot of people, they go fishing and... they have a good time this weekend and then they come back and they don't attend to anything, they don't check anything, they don't do anything to the boat. And then the next trip they do exactly the same thing, just hitch up the boat and they go off to their fishing trip. I did a call out on Thursday afternoon, a gentleman was off to do work then, and he says, he's got a problem because nothing on his boat's working. I drove all the way out to Pomona and I was just using my multimeter doing certain checks. All the batteries on the boat were flat. So I asked him basic questions. When last have you charged the batteries? He says, why should I charge the batteries? Doesn't the outboard motor charge the batteries? I looked at him and I thought to myself, okay, we're not in the States where we are making 20, 30 kilometer runs. It's the same principle as you do on your motor vehicle.
Right.
If your battery is flat and you kickstart the car, obviously you're going to have to make a really long run to have that battery charged. And our waters are not that big, and you're having people fit big fish finders, and like you said, you mentioned earlier on, live wells with pumps and stuff like that. All those things use a lot of power. Now, obviously, okay, if you have a fully charged battery, you're not going to have problems for the day because it'll use whatever battery power that it has. But then, obviously, the next trip, without you having to charge it, you obviously had some cold weather or off weather and your boat's parked outside, the battery discharges slightly, and then you don't charge it when going again. Now, this is another thing I got to tell all the listeners. Deep cycle batteries, and most people are familiar with deep cycle batteries. When you go out fishing, make sure the minute you come back, put those deep cycle batteries on charge.
Mm.
If you don't and you leave it for the next month and decide to put the batteries on charge the day before you're going fishing, you're going to have a problem. You're either going to have a damaged battery or your charger will just be working for like 20 hours without, you know, charging that battery and not giving any proper indications as to what's happening, and you think that your batteries are charging. I don't want to get in too technical on the battery side, but deep cycle batteries love charge. They love to be charged. You can keep them charged for the day. And like I say, when you come from fishing, charge them up. Even if you're not going fishing, 2 weeks later, charge them, or 3 weeks later, put the batteries on charge again. Always keep them charged to prolong the life of your deep cycle battery. Because eventually what will happen is the battery will become so weak it wouldn't be able to hold that charge. You know, you get different plates which pull up sulfur in the battery. And then once that happens, to recondition or to desulfate those plates becomes a problem. And this is where you start developing dead cells. Now, dead cells would obviously be where that particular part of the battery cannot hold charge anymore. So, like the battery guys would term, you have one cell dead in a six-cell battery. Now, if you look at a battery, most batteries which have the maintenance wells, you have to open the top. You have like six different wells. You've got to fill battery acid. One of those wells are not keeping charge, in simpler terms. So always make sure, before you go fishing, when you come back from fishing, and obviously again, 2 days before you go fishing, make sure your batteries are charged. Instead of driving halfway across South Africa and realize that you can't fish. And another very, very handy tip for the user out there, always carry a set of booster cables on your boat, because especially the fishermen which have more than one battery, you don't want to be sitting 15 k's down in the river and not have any battery power to be able to start your motor. And then you can actually jump start what we call the cranking battery, the main motor battery, from one of the trolling motor batteries, you know, just to save yourself. So always carry a set of jumper leads.
It's actually amazing, Mo, that you're saying keep that battery on charge. I mean, you know, generally they would say the more you put the battery on charge, the weaker you're actually making the memory, or the weaker you're actually making the battery.
Okay, now what happens here is you get another, how can I say, you get different types of batteries. You get GM, gel batteries, NiCad batteries, lithium-ion batteries. I'm talking like on the NiCad batteries, especially the deep cycle batteries. If you use those batteries for about an hour and you haven't drained that battery quite a bit, like beyond 60-70% of the battery, obviously you're going to have to charge it up. This is why we have a certain amount of charge cycles on a battery. A battery can only last, for example, 3,000 cycles or 5,000 charge cycles, and then you have to replace the battery if you do not recondition the battery. Now, you get certain charges that can actually recondition the battery. So basically what it does is, that memory buildup you're talking about, a lot of people think that when my battery is flat, it's at 0 volts, and when it's at full, it's like on 13 volts. But that's not the case. When your battery goes flat, it's probably like at 10.5 volts. Now, continuous charge, again, depending on the battery, it will build up a memory. So what happens is, if your battery drains at 10.3 volts and it's at 11 volts and you're charging it, a year down the lane, obviously what will happen is your dead point, basically your battery empty point, would no longer be 10.3, it'll shift up to like 11. So you'll only have that 1 volt of charge, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So getting a charger that has what we call a recondition function would then drain the battery completely and then recharge it from flat again.
Very interesting stuff. I think it's very, very important for guys to consider, to do the checks that you say when going out of the boat. Last thing you want to do is get to the dam and realize that now your battery is flat or you've got another problem. Excellent advice. From Mohammed Patel, as always, inshallah, we will catch up with you in the near future. Looks like time is up fast.
Yeah, I see that it's finished already.
I need to get back to fishing right now.
Yeah, yeah, you can carry on very shortly. Muhammad, Jazakumullah for your time. Once again, we'll catch up with you shortly, Mohammed.
Exactly.
Or rather soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
Adil, Jazakumullah for yourself. We're going to leave you to go and catch a few monsters there, Adil. And perhaps we learned a lot from the jelly lip yellow today, Adil.
Jelly lip yellow, I never saw that before. But we will refer to the book again, inshallah, and we'll consult. And excellent stuff. And to all our wonderful listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.